This is Ozarks at Large for Tuesday, the 5th day of May, 2020. As businesses around the state begin reopening this week under strict guidelines from the governor, a University of Arkansas economist says smaller cities and rural areas will likely take longer to bounce back from the coronavirus crisis than the state's larger metro areas. Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek spoke with Mervyn Jemaraj, the director of the Center for Business and Economic Research at the Sam Walton College of Business, via Zoom late last week.
In your latest report, you write that small cities and rural communities will have a much harder time recovering from the pandemic than metro areas. What kind of factors contribute to that?
You know, starting from the last recession, 2007 to 2009, which was a global recession, and you saw the impacts across the country, across the world, a lot of those impacts and job losses particularly were concentrated in smaller and rural communities. So the bigger metropolitan areas, especially here in Arkansas, the central Arkansas economy, northwest Arkansas, and Jonesboro economies, have gained more jobs than they lost in the last recession. Their economies are now much larger than they were in the last recession. But that story is not true for a lot of rural communities in our state, where the number of jobs available in those communities is lower than where they were during the last recession. And in some cases, they were on par with where they were in 2008. So it had taken them up till 2019, 2020, just to get to the number of jobs that they had before the last recession. So a lot of these communities were starting at this crisis from a weaker economic situation than the larger communities were, which makes recovering from it a lot harder.
And I'm guessing, you know, smaller cities and rural areas just don't have the kind of diversity that, economic diversity that large metro areas have.
Right. And so a lot of smaller communities are often dependent on one kind of business. And so depending on what that business is, you know, and how affected that is by the crisis we're looking at right now, that will affect how much these rural communities suffer as a result of the COVID-19 closures. And so if you're looking at, you know, manufacturing, you know, by and large, most of those have been deemed essential industries, but a lot of those manufacturing facilities, or several of them, had to have social distancing effects. And for a wide variety of manufacturers, their customers are gone. So they've had to shutter their plants nonetheless or furlough workers. And so when your community is dependent on those jobs for income, in the short term, the unemployment benefits really help. Especially the $600 additional unemployment payments really help the people that have been furloughed. But sort of, you know, the other community members that were kind of working alongside those businesses or providing services to those businesses, independent contractors, they will get unemployment benefits from the state, but they haven't gotten those benefits yet. And a lot of these people do live paycheck to paycheck, and if their work stopped at some point in March, it's not likely that they're going to get paid until some point in May. You know, they don't have the income to tide them over in those rural communities. And then finally, you know, even for businesses there, there is help available for businesses. You know, some of that could be reformed to make it better, but you know, there has been a large amount of money made available to businesses. But again, community banks did not process the bulk of these loans. There are fewer community banks than we used to have, and so the opportunities for businesses from smaller and rural communities to access the aid available is a lot harder than the companies and businesses in larger communities where they might have a lot of help to get the business loans made available to them.
We're also hearing about farms across the country really struggling right now because the food supply chain has been so disrupted by this pandemic. So I'm sure that's not helping rural communities that rely on farming as a source of income.
Yeah, and I think to remember, both manufacturing and especially farming here in Arkansas suffered a lot in the last few years as a result of the trade wars going on. So a lot of their markets were destroyed as a result of the trade wars and retaliatory tariffs and things like that. And so this year was supposed to be, you know, coming out from the trade wars, especially the fairly severe one that we had with China. But, you know, both the Chinese economy had slowed down at the beginning of this year, and now our economy is slowing down. The ability to find workers to work on fields is an important question going into harvest season later this year. You know, already we're seeing around the country a lot of produce being wasted because of supply chain issues, not being able to get that food redirected to other consumer avenues. And, you know, cattle production is going to take a hit just because some plants have closed and, you know, slaughterhouses have had to shutter because of high infection rates among their workers. So those markets are diminished as well. And so, you know, all around, farm families have seen negative incomes, I think, since about 2013 from just on-farm income. But to compound that in these rural communities, now we're going to see that the off-farm income that farm communities were relying on is going to be unstable. And that makes their entire economic picture a lot harder to sustain.
And now we're discussing reopening certain businesses on a timeline. What do state and local leaders and businesses need to think about?
All right, I think the first thing to think about is, you know, the restaurant opening, you know, they've been limited to 33% capacity. Now, no restaurant can survive on just 33%. Of their normal income, in the same way that while they're doing curbside and delivery, that might be only about 20 or 30% of their, if even, of their regular business. And no restaurant can really survive on those. So I think it's important to explain to businesses, explain to landlords, explain to everybody involved in the process that this is still, we're still in a mitigation scenario. And these restaurants are essentially still closed for the most part, and that, you know, all the rent agreements and forbearance and stuff like that needs to continue again, because there has been money made available through the Paycheck Protection Program for businesses, but some of those requirements made it difficult for businesses to access the funds. And as a result, you know, a lot of them, there's a discrepancy between what landlords may think their businesses can get in the form of rent support from the federal government and what is actually true, because the federal government's rules made it sort of difficult to, if you paid 75% for payroll, maybe your rent takes up more than 25%. And so there's quite a bit of misunderstanding there. And so all that, I think, makes it to adds one more dimension when you say restaurants are open. They're not really open in the sense that they've already been open for curbside and delivery. This is just some portion of that for in-person dining. But again, it will depend on how consumers feel about going out in public and being what is likely to be in closer contact with other human beings very soon, in 2 weeks.
And there are so many unknowns with this, right? You know, will people actually go back to restaurants and other businesses once they reopen? Will people feel safe doing that?
I certainly think there's a segment of the population that feels very cooped up and is dying to go out and be social. But I think it's one of those things that you know, the logistics of how you operate all these things. How do you get reservations from all the people that you want to seat? How do you allocate time for all the customers that you want there? How much, you know, the additional processes now, you know, asking restaurants and service industry workers to literally change their gloves every time they move between table to table. I mean, it seems like that would be the way that you would expect things to go, but is that how it's going to work? I mean, consumers are going to be still afraid. I think you might see an initial surge of people going out and then, you know, having to wait outside and socially distance themselves while they're waiting outside and realize that this is not quite working like they thought it was going to work. You know, there are all kinds of questions. You know, I think one of the guidelines was the party size is said to be less than 10 people, but if you put 10 people in a restaurant that come in one party, can you really seat anybody else? So there are all sorts of logistical questions here that we haven't quite figured out. And it's not entirely clear to me that 10 people coming from other households and mingling together is a good thing either. So, but we'll have to wait and see.
So should businesses be factoring in what happens if there's a second wave of outbreaks and they have to shut down again?
I think that's what we don't want to happen. And I think it's probably better to remain closed or remain in curbside operations and not open instead of opening, closing, reopening. I think those that hits the business harder because you ramp up, your expenditures go up while you try to open to a somewhat more normal in-person dining experience. You know, you invest in all these different protective gear and all these disinfectants and try to do all these things, and then all of a sudden you're closed again. So I think if business owners are not quite confident about how many customers they think they will have in a couple of weeks when they reopen their doors at 33% capacity, maybe they should continue the model that they're doing right now that they know is somewhat working instead of trying to do something that might work and have to pull back from.
What about business owners who are wondering whether they will still be eligible for federal aid if they only partially reopen? And on the other side of that, what about employees who feel compelled to go back to work even though they're concerned about their health? I wonder where all those people stand in this conversation about reopening businesses.
I think for businesses, you know, I don't think the Paycheck Protection Program specifies really what percentage of business needs to be operational to avail themselves of the benefits from that program. I think it's really, you know, if they show what payroll they had before the crisis and after the crisis, that qualifies them for the Paycheck Protection Program. So I don't think that is an issue, but I think the bigger concern is what happens to workers that were furloughed or let go from these restaurants, for example, that have health concerns, that have either compromised immune systems or other pre-existing conditions that makes it unsafe for them to be out in public and interacting with members of the public at large, for whom the governor has said that, you know, he's not recommending that people with these types of medical conditions, people in the at-risk categories, go out and mingle just yet. So it's not clear whether that directive applies to workers in restaurants that are being called back as well. So if they get called back and they do fall into one of these categories, and if they stay at home, do they lose their unemployment benefits? That's not something that we've gotten direction from the governor or the federal government on that. And I think it's important to get that before we reopen restaurants on May 11th so that workers can remain safe as well while we're trying to partially reopen businesses.
Thank you very much for speaking with us. We appreciate it.
Not a problem.
That was Mervin Jabaraj, the director of the Center for Business and Economic Research at the University of Arkansas, speaking with Ozarks at Large's Zuzana Sitek. They spoke on Thursday. Then on Friday, during the governor's daily coronavirus response briefing, Arkansas Secretary of Commerce Mike Preston said employees who are offered work at a business for a regulated opening will lose unemployment benefits if they choose not to return to work.
If they have been offered their employment back and they choose not to, then that is on their own doing. And then it is on the employer to notify the Department of Workforce Services that this employee is refusing to come back to work. And therefore, if they still continue to claim their benefits, then they need to be notified. And that's a fraudulent claim for us, and we will be tracking that.
That was Arkansas Secretary of Commerce Mike Preston at a daily press briefing at the state capitol on Friday. This is Ozarks at Large.